Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Only 6 more days until the election. Over half the country has already voted in mail-in ballots and early voting. But anything could still happen to change the political mood of the country, to affect Tuesday's vote. Even the recent riots in Philadelphia are a new development. Also, after last week's debate, where Trump shined, some early voters were asking if they could change their vote over to Trump. You know, who knows how true or widespread that is. As always, only God knows who's going to win, because as in my topic of my last program a couple weeks ago, God chooses who's going to win. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes and sets it over the lowliest of men. It's not as if sometimes God wins and the righteous rule, and other times, oh, poor God, he loses and the unrighteous rule. No, God always wins. And if an unrighteous king comes into power, it's because God has decided that an unrighteous people should have an unrighteous king. The unrighteous king doesn't come to power by his own skill or treachery or popularity. You know, it's God who brings that person into power over the nation. And many more times than not, God gives a righteous king to an unrighteous people for the sake of God's elect, for the enactment of justice. But there are many times where God says, the only way a people will learn the wages of sin is if they have to reap what they've sown. Such as Numbers chapter 11, verse 20. You want meat? You don't want manna from heaven? Then you will eat meat until it comes out of your nostrils. Or 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 8. But they will become his slaves, the slaves of the Egyptian Pharaoh, so that they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the country. Or Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 4. For my eye will have no pity on you, nor will I spare you. But I will bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I'm the Lord. Or Ezekiel 35:4, I will lay waste to your cities, and you will become a desolation. Then you will know I'm the Lord. Or Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. A whole program could be dedicated to, yes, God is sovereign over national leadership. But in that sovereignty, God's will is based upon our spiritual condition. God gives us what we need or deserve. Now, for the born-again Christian, we can be assured that whoever wins will be for our blessing. Even the reign of an evil king has the effect of drawing people to a better kingdom, a heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of Christ. The darker the night, the brighter the light. The blood of the saints is the seed of the church. Or Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul's imprisonment turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. So let's not be in any anxiety over this election. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 still applies. We know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who have been called according to his purpose. Question. If everything works out for good, for our good, why not do evil that good may come? Paul poses and answers that question in Romans chapter 3, verse 8. In a political context, why not vote for the communist abortion LGBTQ candidate? So that the left will get to sleep in the bed that they have made, so that the wicked are punished by the fences of God being removed. And if we know our Bibles well, we know that any victory for the godless is actually their defeat. When they win some piece of godless legislation, it actually destroys them. Abortion is killing off their own family. Legalized drugs will shorten their lives. The perversions of LGBTQ will diminish their own happiness and their own self-control. Socialism will cost them their own financial security and affluence. Most ungodly legislation hurts the godless more than the godly because we don't participate in it. We're not even interested in the wealth of this world. So hooray, let's vote to punish the wicked by voting for the wicked. And sometimes we hear political comments such as, we need to let the left win so that the country will see what leftism does. And plus, we don't have to hear them carping about conservatives anymore. Just like 20 years after being under Hitler, the German people were more than happy to vote for the Christian Democrat Union Party. And 70 years of communism in Russia discredited Marxism. And jihad discredits Islam. Jihad undermines the moral authority of Islam and its appeal in the world. But the Bible teaches that it's never our job to vote for or support evil. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. That's Romans chapter 12. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, it's God's job to decide when evil is to rule, to punish evil. Our job is to simply support righteousness and to pray Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. O God, in wrath, remember mercy. Or Psalm chapter 72, may the righteous flourish. We're to be like our Father in heaven, who sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We are to vote for the candidate that most aligns with the law of God. Now, as far as prayer for who should win, not knowing what our country needs, here's a good prayer in Psalm chapter 9. Arise, O Lord, do not let men prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Or how about this prayer in Psalm 140, verse 8? Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device, that they not be exalted. And these prayers get at the heart of God's purpose for who should win the White House. But again, our responsibility is not to raise up evil adversaries. God is the judge. That's his call. As in Judges chapter 2, verse 14, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hand of plunderers who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies around them. It's not our job to give people over to plunderers. Those who vote for evil will be used by God to punish evil, but they too will be judged for their choice. And that's Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom stumbling blocks come. And Isaiah 33, 1, woe to you, O destroyer, you will be destroyed. As soon as you cease to deal treacherously, others will deal treacherously with you. So we have to understand this mystery in the sovereignty of God, allowing evil versus our responsibility. We must learn from biblical theology, what belongs to God in his allowance and what belongs to us in our choices. You know, the will of God may be the reign of Stalin to punish a nation, but it doesn't follow, therefore, that the will of God is for us to vote or support a Stalin. I mean, it was God's will for Jesus to be put on the cross, but that doesn't mean those who cried, crucify, crucify him, we're obedient to God and doing his will. The election is determined by God, but how we vote is God's test upon us. The vote reveals which worldview, which ideology Americans want to lead this country, the right or the left. So those are just some biblical truths about this election. This week's program could simply be entitled Some of Pastor Brad's Musings About the Election. I actually have some big social topics I want to cover after the election, but since everyone's mind is on the election, this week and next week is going to be about the election, and then after that we can focus on some other battles. But here's an interesting mental exercise. What will the future look like if Biden wins versus what will the future look like if Trump wins? This is what people are really voting for. What they want in their future. What they perceive the future will be based upon what they believe will be the outcome of their chosen ideology. The left truly believes moral freedom and socialism will result in a future utopia, and the right believes that conservatism will actually result in making America great. And this is the if clauses in the Bible, not the Santa clauses, but the if clauses. Those conditional statements, those hypotheticals put forth by the apostles and the prophets, describing what will be the outcome of certain beliefs or behaviors, such as Moses' whole case in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you, the Jewish people, the nation, diligently obey the word of God, this is going to be your future. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. But if you don't obey the Lord, Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68, this will be your disastrous future. God is placing before the people two futures, two scenarios based upon the choices they make in the present. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Some other biblical if clauses. Back to Genesis chapter 4, God's words to Cain. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Or 1 Samuel chapter 8, where the prophet Samuel told the people what the future would look like if they choose a king, rather than continue with the current theocracy under elders and judges. And then after they choose a king, Samuel tells them what the future will look like if there are righteous people under a king or if there are an unrighteous people under a king. And there were also God's words to Solomon depicting two futures. 1 Kings chapter 9, as for you, if you will walk before me, as your father David walked in the integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your throne, the throne of your kingdom, over Israel forever, just as I promised your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons indeed turn away from following me, and do not keep my commands and my statutes, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. The latter prophets also painted two possible futures for the nation, conditioned upon their fidelity to God or their lack thereof. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be destroyed by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Jeremiah 22, 5, but if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house will become a desolation. Jeremiah 38, 17. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will indeed go out to the officers of the king of Babylon, then you will live. This city will not be burned with fire, and you and your household will survive. So it's up to the people and their obedience to the word of God whether the exile would result in a partial or complete destruction of Jerusalem. And then we get to the New Testament. Even our Lord Jesus spoke of two possible futures for Israel. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. You see, it's biblical texts such as these that cause people to question the sovereignty of God. Because these texts make it seem as if it's up to us. We determine the future. God may be sovereign, but it looks like God's sovereignty depends upon us. That he has sovereignly decreed to leave it up to us. So maybe God just sits back and sees what we decide in this upcoming election. But then we read texts such as Psalm 75. God is judge. He puts down one and exalts another. And Daniel 4:17. God bestows kingship on whom he wishes. And we ask, how can this be if there are these if clauses in Scripture? Different possible futures depending on our choice. So now we're faced with the question of God's predestination, and we're certainly not going to answer that question in this half hour YouTube. Just know that God is sovereign in that he limits our choices in such a way to lead us down the path he wants. But the real point I want to get to is this. In all of these if clauses, God wants us to visualize two possible futures so that we make the right moral choice in the present. That's what all of these if clauses are about. And isn't that what the Bible's all about? People having to determine moral choices in the present based upon what they think the future outcomes will be. If we have a moral affinity toward God, we will believe in the future that God describes, his narrow way that leads to life. If we don't have a moral affinity toward God, we will believe that the broad road to destruction will lead to the good life, that the ungodly secular state will actually result in a future utopia, the dream of Marxism. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way which seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So every person must visualize possible futures given their moral, religious, ideological choice. And this is what faith is all about. And this is why the biblical prophets would ask, what are you going to do in the end thereof? Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. Or Deuteronomy 32:29, would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future. Or Lamentations 1:9, she didn't consider her future. Therefore, she has fallen astonishedly. She has no comforter. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 3. Now, what will you do in the day of punishment and in the devastation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? Or Zephaniah chapter 2. Seek the Lord. Perhaps you'll be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger before the decree takes effect. The day passes like the chaff before the burning anger of the Lord comes upon you. Everyone has faith. Everyone has to exercise faith. It's simply a belief in a certain future, but you're either going to have faith in Satan's worldview and his future, or you're going to have faith in God's worldview and God's future. And mankind is called to visualize the correct future based upon the word of God. And believing in God's promise of the future is what we call saving faith. So we do have to visualize the future, and that's how decisions in the present are made. Now, of course, each political party will try to explain their policies as resulting in a wonderful future and their opponents' policies as resulting in a terrible future. You know, just like Elizabeth Warren just recently said that Trump is an existential threat to humanity. Or, of course, you know, Pence and Trump are saying that Biden is going to ruin the economy and he's going to take away our freedoms. And it's up to us to discern who's telling the truth, who sees the future correctly. Again, Deuteronomy 32, would that they were wise that they understood this, that they would discern their future. And there Moses is speaking about discerning how obedience or disobedience to the law of God would affect the future outcome of the nation. So what if Biden wins? Let's just visualize this for a moment. Actually, that'd be kind of a surprise. Trump is traveling to all of the battleground states. He's doing two or three rallies a day with thousands of people showing up. Biden is not even out campaigning. His strategy is to stay in the basement. And when he does have a rally, just a handful of people show up. My sister was attending a Trump rally in Pennsylvania, and she got speaking with some Orthodox Jews who were attending. And they all said that they were voting for Trump, and all of the rabbis are telling them to vote for Trump. And Trump has actually raised more money than Biden, which is very unusual because often the Democrats raise more money than the Republicans in these presidential elections. In an article in the New York Times entitled "Two Americas Financing the Trump and Biden Campaigns," the results is kind of what we expect. Biden has the financial support of the media, academia, the rich, the entertainment industry, large businesses. 90% of donations from the social media giants, Facebook, Google, Twitter, goes toward the Democrats. Trump's financial support is mostly middle-class workers. So it's going to be a close election. You ask, like, what's my guess? You know, I see a lot of providence of God in Trump's presidency. Christians could never have gotten enough votes to win on the basis of traditional Christian American values. It took someone like Trump to bring in many non-Christian groups who now unwittingly support conservative biblical values, even if they're just trying to support their own pocketbook. But maybe God just wants Trump for one term, then for the left to show its hand and to sabotage Make America Great. But if I had to guess, based upon my understanding of God's past workings, it looks like Trump is God's choice and therefore is going to win another 4 years. But I don't know all of the factors like God does. So I really cannot predict election results. But if Biden wins, we know that the nation is going to move radically toward the left. The Democrats will not reach across the aisle. They will not be moderates. Those days are gone. This is war, and no one is going to play nice anymore. We know that Biden plans to implement a national standard for everyone to wear masks because he's a statist. He believes such decisions need to be made by the state rather than by the individual. So if you like wearing masks and you want everyone else to wear a mask, Biden is your man. Biden and Harris will also push for abortion on demand. They'll move the whole culture in that direction. You know, just like the Democrats in New York State, you know, cheered when they passed the law allowing abortion up to the moment of birth. The left loves their abortion. Biden has promised to raise taxes. Democrats believe in funding bigger government. They'll move towards socialism where nothing's free. It's simply the state taxing everyone to pay for health care, college education, more government jobs. Biden, if elected, of course, we'll limit fossil fuels, high taxes on gasoline, expect to pay $5 a gallon because, like the left, he believes this false narrative that CO2 is a pollutant. Biden will be all in on approving LGBTQ behavior, the philosophy of transgenderism and gender choice. He will pass the Equality Act, which will make it illegal for anyone to make moral judgments against LGBTQ. In the debate, he said nobody should judge an 8 or 10-year-old child who wants to change his sex. You know, this is the immoral ideology of the left. The removal of all of God's distinctions concerning marriage and sexual behavior and gender. Biden win would actually mean the persecution of Christians who hold to biblical morality. Censoring of churches and Christian colleges. All these policies Biden has spoken about in his campaign. There are thousands of articles about Biden's plans on the internet. The Democrats have told us what they're going to do. They'll print money to bail out Democrat cities with deficits. They'll enlarge the Supreme Court with liberal judges to counter the three conservative judges that Trump put on the court. They will give D.C. and Puerto Rico statehood in order to get 45 more Democratic seats in the House. They plan to abolish the Electoral College to, quote, take power away from white America. But the bigger picture is that Biden would strengthen the hands of evildoers. Jeremiah 23:14, Also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. The committing of adultery and the walking in falsehood. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom, their inhabitants like Gomorrah. They turn the nation into Sodom by strengthening evil. A Biden win would confirm the whole woke leftist narrative, the critical race theory, the 1619 project, that America is a racist place, that gender is a choice, that socialism is the answer, that conservative speech must be censored. And you know, the media would boast that it has the power to be a kingmaker, that their Russian collusion hoax, their Ukrainian phone call hoax, they're blaming all of the COVID deaths on the president has actually worked. And I would want Trump to win, if for no other reason than to thwart the arrogance of the media and the wicked. Psalm chapter 9, put them in fear, O Lord, let the nations know they are but men. So that's a Biden win. What if Trump wins? Well, one thing is for sure. If Trump does win, my next program is going to be about all the riots in protest. They're already being planned by leftist organizations. The left is so invested in this election, and their philosophy is such that they will not take a loss without rioting. People look too much to men when they don't have their eyes upon God. And if Trump wins, you know, the nation will move more toward pro-life. And hopefully we can get the courts to overturn Roe versus Wade. So some states would be anti-abortion. The Trump administration will prevent the legalization of marijuana, other drugs, prostitution, all sorts of perversions. Under Trump, smaller government, less taxes. Under Trump, the leftist agenda of critical race theory and gender choice and transgenderism will be pushed back. You know, we could go through a list of all of Trump's accomplishments in the first 4 years and break down how those policies will be expanded. But you know what that's all about. In general, if Trump wins, let's remember he's not going to be our savior. He can't change the entire moral direction of the country. The Bible is still illegal in our public schools. Immorality is rampant. We're still going bankrupt. But Trump will buy us some time. Trump is kind of like a stopgap measure. We know where this world is going. The spirit of the Antichrist is growing. But President Trump will be a break on the downhill slide. Trump will keep some basic Christian American values from being completely repudiated. You know, the old saying is true. The Democrats want to ruin the country in 4 years. The Republicans want to stretch it out to 40 years. But realize this. Every godly leader, whether that be Joseph or Daniel or Nehemiah or Esther, they didn't save the world. They were raised up by God to fulfill the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 principle of restraining sin for a little while. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. God is restraining the wickedness of this world through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit uses certain people to do this. And remember also the Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 principle, we're the salt of the earth. We are to slow down the decay. And this is what we work for, a little more time, a little more freedom. And this was the apostolic motive in praying for good civil government. Remember, Paul says to pray for kings and all who are in authority so that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and dignity. In accepting the nomination, President Trump said the following at the convention. At no time before have voters faced a clear choice between two parties, two visions, two philosophies, two agendas. This election will decide if we save the American dream or whether we allow a socialist agenda to demolish our cherished identity. It will decide whether we rapidly create millions of high-paying jobs or whether we crush our industries and send millions of these jobs overseas, as has been foolishly done for many decades. Your vote will decide whether we protect law-abiding Americans or whether we give free rein to violent anarchists and agitators and criminals who are threatening our citizens. And this election will decide whether we will defend the American way of life or allow a radical movement to completely dismantle and destroy it. Is that a true assessment of the two futures before us? You and I have to decide what the future will look like based on our choices today. We have to decide which future we want. It's about faith. Now, this might seem obvious, this making decisions based upon our perceptions of the future, but it's kind of helpful to lay it out to define what faith is really all about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. It's a belief that God and his way is the reward. Almost everyone in our culture knows that famous line from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You know, people may not be able to quote a single verse of scripture, but they know this line from the Knight Templar. When the bad guy chooses the wrong cup, the wrong Holy Grail.
Certainly is the cup of the King of Kings. Eternal life.
He chose poorly. The great understatement of the day. You know, it's strange that Hollywood can put this forth and Americans can be entertained by this without realizing how true this is. Hell and judgment awaits those who make the wrong choice against Christ. The Bible states clearly that those who choose against Christ will perish. You want a more graphic description? Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. This will be the plague which the Lord will strike all the people who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they're standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongue will rot in their mouth. Or how about Isaiah chapter 66, verse 16? For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by his sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Your eternal destiny depends on the choices you make today based upon what you believe are future outcomes. So choose wisely. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Thank you for including God and country as just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to like, to subscribe, to share, to make comments below, and may Jesus Christ reign.